You are listening to The Activity Pod with Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, episode 12, we interview Warwick Merry. Warwick is a professional speaker, coach and author. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/12. That's number 12. We were about to start recording this interview when Annette was unexpectedly called away for an urgent business matter that was unavoidable. While we considered rescheduling, we decided that life often disrupts and decided to continue on so as not to inconvenience Warwick. The main theme of this conversation is living life as you want to, not as you think you should. Warwick and I talk about how to let your diary run your day rather than your email, how we define success, and the importance of celebration. We also talk about how to have healthy boundaries when you work for yourself. We laughed a lot while recording this, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we did. If you have a chance, Annette and I would really appreciate you sharing the Activity Pod with your friends. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Our guest today is Warwick Merry. Warwick is a bit of a slasher. Professional speaker, / MC, / author, / former podcaster, / coach, / poodle daddy. Warwick is also the founder of Get More, an organisation dedicated to igniting an inexhaustible passion for life in people. Warwick lives his life based on choices, not on shoulds, which I love, by the way. A few years ago, he made the choice to turn his own life around, from working long hours in corporate Australia and failing to take care of his health, to building a successful business, working fewer hours and focusing on his health to lose over 20 kilos in the process. Welcome, Warwick.
Thanks for having me. I don't think I've ever been referred to as a poodle daddy.
I had to find something a little bit more interesting in your bio than the usual corporate rubbish that people spat out.
No, but that's great. I think that my new business card is going to have poodle daddy.
Love it. Love it. So the first thing we want to know is what made you decide to change your lifestyle?
To get a full perspective, I did training. I did 2 degrees, one in IT and one in accountancy, and then spent 10 years in the IT industry. I got to tell you, I had way too much personality to stay in IT.
not accountancy. Not too much personality for accountancy.
Accountancy. Look, I did accountancy over one summer break and I did auditing and I've never done it again. Like I do all my own accounting, but just not for me. The scary thing is in the IT industry, they have a term for something called a death march. And that is when your project's coming in and you work these colossal days, come to work so tired, you make more mistakes, you've got to try and fix up the next day. It was just unsustainable. But nearly every project I work on, there was always the death march in the last couple of weeks. So it was just like that was not for me. And I just spent a lot of time looking at what do I want to be when I grow up? Mm-hmm. And it was a question that I asked myself for a prolonged period and did a whole lot of personal development. And then, came across the concept of being a professional speaker. And I love the sound of my own voice and naturally other people should too. So I went down that path. I've always had the idea of working for myself, but I had no idea what to do. And, now I am the master of my own ship. And, oh, my lorks a lordy, if only I'd known how much the ship wants to deviate off course and they've got a bailout order and, But it's been a really good decision for me.
Excellent. Do you have a daily routine or a morning routine that starts off your day?
Look, no is the answer. Waking up is always a good start. My wife is a shift worker, so depending on her shifts will depend on what time I get up, because I got to tell you, I love my wife and I really enjoy spending time with her, one of the reasons I married her. So if she's working a late shift, I'm more likely to not get out of bed and just sort of hang around and have a conversation and whatever. But if she's working an early shift, then I'll get up and make coffee and do whatever, and once she goes to work, then I'll get into it. So I don't have a set routine like that. I think like many people, I've fallen into a routine, which is I wake up, reach for the phone, check my emails, check Facebook, check other social media outlets, make a few comments, do a bit of work, delete the spam, reply to a few things. So I can find, I'll do half an hour of work before I even get out of bed.
I'm so glad it's not only me that does that.
The first thing I do
is grab my phone.
And we joke about it, but, you know, listeners, we know you take your phone to the toilet and as you're sitting there doing your business, you're doing your business. And this is what happens.
Don't something like 75% of people send a text or send a tweet when they're on the toilet?
Oh, look, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. And there's nothing worse than you'd send someone a text and then they call you back because you've got that echo. And
especially when you're in a public toilet.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing now? Making coffee? Yeah, whatever.
So. Love it.
Yeah. And I think, look, that's one of the biggest problems with modern day life is technology.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword. And technology like fire is a brilliant tool but a poor master. And too many people don't have the strength of will to turn it into a tool. Mm. They have it as a master.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I remember my first jobs were conference organising and we worked long days as well. But when you left the office, that was it. You couldn't take work home because the technology didn't exist for you to take work home with you.
No.
Unless it was, you know, maybe taking a few boxes of envelopes to stuff. But there were no phones and there were no mobile phones and laptops were hard to dial in to the internet because it was the early days of the internet.
Yep.
So, you know, I might have worked long hours in the office, but that didn't then parlay into another 3 hours at home before I went to bed at 2 a.m.
Oh, look, and I know there's people, I know about you, but when I watch telly, my phone's not far away and I'm checking it every now and again. And so I might get an email at 10:30 at night and I'll be thinking, God, who sent me an email? And it's, oh, that's an important thing. I'll just give them a quick, you know, conversation back. So I'm responding, you know, at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night.
I know.
Particularly when you work for yourself, one of the biggest issues in working for yourself is having healthy boundaries around what is my time and what is work time. Now, you know, as you said in the intro, you know, it is about doing, not shooting on yourself and doing things not because you should do them but because you choose to.
Yeah.
So if you choose to send emails and stuff at night, fantastic. But if you feel that you have to, you might want to look at some of your boundaries.
So how do you set those boundaries?
Well, it's really about choosing. So again, you know, my wife and I, and look, let's be honest, when you're working by yourself, your life partner becomes part of the business, either directly working in the business or affecting your business decisions. So my wife and I, we have created a magnificent lifestyle. She's a shift worker. We take advantage of that. So, for example, last night she was doing a late shift, which for her means she's not home till about 11. So I was, you know, sitting on the couch, had the TV in the background, and I'm updating my new website and web page about the event that I've got coming up early next year. So am I relaxing? Am I working? I'm sort of doing a bit of both. But my thing is, if my wife's not around, I'm open to do work. If my wife's around, I want to pay attention to her. If she's watching one of the TV shows or doing something that's her thing that I'm not interested in, then I can work should I choose to. But often I don't because I think it's really important that you have time for yourself to recharge your batteries. There's too many entrepreneurs, too many businesses. They say, you know, businesses end in, you know, 80% don't last 5 years. I suspect it's not because they aren't successful in what they're doing. I suspect it's because they've burnt out. You know, people just throw themselves at it and there's no rest and recreation. And particularly with, you know, a huge number of new businesses are mums returning to work because they can fit it in around their kids. And then all of a sudden it takes over from their kids and it's like, I've got a child, I'm married to another child, I've got a business, I've got friends, and there's no time for me. So it really is about choosing what's going to work for you and having those boundaries.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I know when I started my business, which is not 9.5 years ago now, so not quite as long as you, but I just said, there's no way that I'm working at night. And for most of that time, I haven't. I mean, there's obviously a few exceptions when you've got projects, but like you said, it swings and roundabouts.
Yeah.
I might not work at night. I might work at night, but I might then take a day off during the week and do other stuff that's important to me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I've also made the decision I like to ease into the week and ease out of the week. So I don't schedule anything too great for a Monday morning or for a Friday afternoon.
Yep.
Now, for some of your listeners might be aware that I put out a weekly little burst of motivation called the Get More Goer. So that's pretty much the first thing I do every Monday morning. And it's a nice and easy way to get into the week, and it causes me to do some reflection as well. And sometimes on a Friday afternoon, I've started doing once a month a Get More Speaking Success blab for speakers. And I do that on at 4 o'clock on a Friday because I figured it's the end of the week, get a beverage, jump on a blab, have a bit of a crap on, and in the process, learn some secrets from other people. You know, so it is being really mindful about when you do some of the stuff that you do and when you schedule some of the things you do.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm like you. I don't tend to schedule any meetings for a Monday, apart from maybe an occasional teleconference. But I don't want to leave my home office on a Monday because that's sort of my mentally prepare for the week and do the few things I didn't get done the previous week and just think about what are my goals for the week and what do I need to achieve.
Yep.
And then, you know, yesterday I had a Monday that went completely pear-shaped and I just thought, I'm so glad. I was meant to go out for lunch and I cancelled it. And I just thought, oh, I'm so glad because I just needed to focus on everything that was going wrong with yesterday.
And look, and I suppose that raises a really good point. I'm a big fan of planning out year, quarter, month, week, day. And a lot of people say to me, oh, the planning, you got to. What do you have to plan it out for? And well, by planning out, it enables you to know what you're missing out on or what your choices are. So, for example, for yourself, you've had a nightmare happen. You can ring up and say to your person you're having lunch with, sorry, I'm going to have to cancel this because I've got all this other stuff coming up or reschedule or whatever.
Yeah.
So it allows you to make a decision versus just fluffing along and floating along and doing whatever comes up. And then all of a sudden you find you've been doing the nibbling of the little stuff, but the important stuff slips through the cracks. So that's why I'm a big plan of doing, and I've just completed my strategic plan for 2016. And so I now know what I've got planned out and I break it down, you know, it's just really old school. Strategic plan, tactical plan, operational plan, break it into quarters.
Yeah.
And the final quarter I haven't planned because I know enough to know that by the time I get there, whatever I've planned now won't be.
Yeah.
So I won't plan that third quarter until probably the end of second quarter or midway through the second quarter.
Yeah, because opportunities come up and you want to leave yourself flexible to accepting them.
For sure. Mm. Like, you know, I've had an opportunity come my way for early next year. Out of the blue, I got approached someone who wants me to host some conferences. There's the roadshow, you know, in Nice, Denver. Somewhere in Mexico and Manila. And I'm just like, yes, I will make myself available. Now, look, there's a really strong chance it's not going to happen, but it's thrilled to be, you know, approached for it.
Exactly.
But it's like by having a strategic plan, I can say, actually, you know, this is going to work in well with what I want to do. So, you know, it's good.
Couldn't agree more. I sat down to write mine last week and got half a page into it and thought, not in the right brain space for this, so I need to, and I was at the beach, so I thought I need to need to make another day for next
and
week
and
or the week
that's
after.
A really important thing too is you've got to be in the right headspace, but you've also got to put yourself in the right headspace.
That's
because
exactly
it's
right.
too easy, and I know for me is I'll avoid going, oh, I'm not in the right headspace, I can't do it, and I'll just keep pushing it off versus going, righto, it's in the diary, tomorrow's the day, I've got to get in the right headspace, how do I do it? And music is a good thing for me, so I'll have a certain music I know will help block out the rest of the world. Part of it will be I'm not checking my emails, my Facebook is turned off. I don't know about you, but I have all notifications turned off on my phone.
Oh, God. Oh, I have one notification that comes in on my phone, but I have all notifications turned off on my computer.
Yeah, because, again, that becomes that I need to drive the technology, not let technology drive me. Now, naturally, whoever's created the app wants notifications because they want to go, bing, your thing's on eBay is good. Bing, your friend on Facebook wants to talk to you. Bing, you know. So it is that, how do I make sure I'm driving the technology or using the technology? And as you say, I'm choosing this one particular app or process that I want notifications because at the moment this is important. For example, I'm hosting the PCO conference next week and they've got a conference app. So it's the only notification that's on at the moment because as the host, I want to know what's going on and I can then incorporate some of that stuff into some of the so-called jokes that I might be using from the stage.
Exactly. I actually take it a step further and I have the volume on my phone turned off for probably 17 hours a day And probably even more than that, because I don't have it on most of the day in business hours,
right,
so that I can focus on getting work done with the premise that, you know, if it's really urgent, then people will find a way of getting in touch with me,
yeah,
and either through Skype or through, you know, Twitter or through some other thing that I might look at.
Cool.
And I do look at my phone every hour or so just to see what I might have missed. But yeah, I also train all my clients from the beginning so that they know that mostly I won't be answering my phone because I'll be focusing on something else.
Fantastic.
Which means when I'm ready to return their call, I'll be 100% focused on them.
Yeah, cool.
And it also means when I'm doing their work that they're paying me to do, I'm 100% focused on it and I'm not going to take a call from another client.
Yeah, great.
And they all really seem to respect that. And so
excellent.
I've actually had clients call me and I've answered and they've said, oh, I wanted to leave a message. I had a long message for you. Can I just give you the message and then hang up? Because I don't have time to talk, but I just wanted to tell you blah, blah, blah.
Fantastic. Can you give this message to yourself?
Exactly.
But that's a really powerful point. You know, essentially what you're doing is saying no to telephone calls.
Yeah.
And in my experience and experience of my clients, what you say no to determines your success far more than what you say yes to.
And that's
so saying no to phone
too.
Calls, saying no to distractions, saying no to opportunities that may be fun but you know really aren't going to progress you to where you ultimately want to go, that will help really open you up to the things that, will lead to your ultimate success. So too often, you know, because essentially we're nice. People are nice. They want to say yes to people. They want to do the right thing. We all want to help. But saying no will dictate your success far more than what saying yes will.
I agree. And I actually just wrote a blog post a couple of weeks ago about working from home and the challenges that you face working from home. And the biggest challenge I face is that people hear I'm at home, not that I'm working.
Yeah.
And so the number of people who I've pissed off over the years by saying, no, I can't just have a social coffee with you on Tuesday at 11 o'clock because I have to work.
Yeah.
Or I can't just, you know, come for lunch when lunch might only take an hour, but it's an hour's round trip from where I live
to
where you want to meet. And I'm working. And there's no value in that lunch from a business perspective for me. So let's meet on the weekend.
Yeah.
To which the response is often, oh, but the weekend is my family time. And it's like, well, that's very nice, but Monday to Friday is my business time.
Yep.
And I find that it's educating people that just because I work from home doesn't mean I don't work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure, I know I'm not the only person who feels that because
look, it's hard for people to get their mindset around, because when you think about the pure numbers, most people will work 9 to 5 or a 9 to 5-ish kind of job, even if they're part time. So when you are an entrepreneurial person or a work at home person, you are something different. And so a lot of people have really struggled to get their head around it. So part of what you're doing is actually educating them. So it can be like, yeah, I'd love to catch up, and here's when I'm available. Oh, but what about during the day? No, not available. I've got work.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it really is that education process.
That's exactly right.
It's the same when people say, oh, can we catch up for coffee? I want to pick your brain.
Oh.
You know, and then it's like, well, who do I send the invoice to?
Exactly.
What? You know. Yeah.
See, I've got another way around that. I've just introduced walking meetings. So I say to somebody, if you want to pick my brain for a coffee, then we can go for a 45-minute walk because I need to get exercise, and that's a good way for me to do it. And I'd be listening to a podcast if I was on my own, but I'm happy to talk to you instead.
Yeah.
So you can buy the coffee. We can get a takeaway coffee, but pack your walking shoes and some comfy clothes because you're going to sweat because it's Brisbane in summer. And we're going to go for a walk. So bring a hat, bring sunscreen.
Right.
Wear your walking shoes.
Yeah, I don't want to pick your brain anymore.
Exactly. Hard. It's fantastic for working out who's serious about wanting to pick your brain and who's not.
I know. I've done a few virtual coffees.
I just say,
you get a coffee, I get a coffee, let's have a Skype conversation or whatever you know, communication you want. You got 15 minutes.
And that's when I turn my phone on, the volume on my phone, and preempt or, you know, get someone to ring me at a certain time or set an alarm on my phone that goes off really loudly.
Yep.
It sounds like somebody's phoning me and I say, oh, got to go, got a phone call, see ya, thanks.
And it is that balance. It's like, you know, I know I'm a member of a professional association, Professional Speakers Australia, and I like to contribute to members. So, you know, I will make myself available to them. But again, it's about having boundaries and looking at what am I prepared to give? How am I prepared to invest? And you know, there are certain people who want to ask for lots of advice but do nothing. Mm. And so you get tired of working with them. But if people actually do something, you can then work with them. And I know for me, there's a few people I've had conversations with that have actually turned into mentoring clients for me, mm. Which has been good. So I think what you and I are both saying is don't not converse with people. But do it on your own terms, yeah. And if they're not happy to come to you, meet your terms, whatever, then they're not serious about it.
I completely agree. So you just mentioned mentoring. How important do you believe mentoring is in terms of accountability and getting stuff done?
Well, it's sort of like, do you want to succeed? Yes, get a mentor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's look, as you and I discussing before the call, I've just come back from gym and I continue to have issues with my physical size because I am a nutritional overachiever. And so therefore by having a personal trainer, and it's just knowing that there's someone there who's going to push me harder than what I do myself. I mean, half the reason I became a poodle daddy was because I needed to force myself to walk, and I won't walk for me, but I will walk for the dog.
Oh, I love that.
So my commitment is 5 days a week. I need to walk the dog 5 days a week. Because otherwise he'll go nuts. Mm. And I'll work for him, but I won't work for me because I've always got an excuse. You know, as I say to people, it's like, don't think about exercise, because if you think about it, you'll never do it.
Yeah.
It's like when you're going to meet your friend on the corner, you'll say, I'll meet you at 6 a.m., we'll go for a walk. And you both get down there, you look like shit, and you say to each other, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And then at the end of the walk, you're like, that was fantastic, see you again tomorrow. You know, so having the same can be said for your work and your business. It's like, you know, the most of us will have plans and dreams and whatever. And then when the rubber's got to hit the road and do the work, if you don't have someone, now it can be formal, it can be informal, maybe it's just a quarterly thing, but it's having something, because part of it is, who are you going to share the success with? Because, you know, I guarantee you, your partner has no idea what you do. Now, my wife, when people say, what is your husband doing? And she says, he has coffee with people. You know,
oh, my God, that sounds like what my husband says.
You know, because they don't really understand it, because typically as an entrepreneur, small business person, whatever, no one fully understands it. So by having someone else who understands a bit better of what you're doing and can share the success, give you some direction when the, you know, the crap hits the fan, then you can, you know, move forward with it. And it is knowing that you've got to call them and say, oh, crap, I didn't do this, and have them go, okay, what's your plan? How can we break it down? How can we make this work? Makes all the difference.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
We love talking to people on Facebook and Twitter. Find us at The Activity Pod or search hashtag The Activity Pod.
Are there any resources that you'd recommend to people who want to make some changes in their lives other than getting a mentor?
Yes, there is. There's some fantastic resources available. Look, there's a ton of stuff out there. And for me, I'm essentially lazy. And so I stick to the simple stuff. You know, there's some planning tools and a whole lot of different things. But for me, I like my diary, you know, and I love technology, so I, you know, link my diary on my phone to my computer, to Google Calendar, and which has my social life in it as well. So, you know, and my wife has access, so we know what's going on for everyone. And it's just a matter of having the discipline of if something's happening, you put it in the diary. Mm. It's and you know, I let the diary run my day, not my inbox. So, you know, that alone is a simple tool that will make a huge difference.
What do you mean by that? You let your diary run your day and not your inbox.
Oh, right. So a lot of people, when they turn on their computer, go straight to their inbox. Mm.
Yeah.
And they'll have an email, so they've got to respond to that. And I'll look at some other stuff and, oh, no, I'll do that later. So I'll mark it unread and then I'll look at some other stuff. So they spend quite a lot of time going through their inbox and looking at what's there and what do I need to do and forget some of the really important stuff. So if you go to your diary and say, righto, what's the bigger picture? What do I need to do today? What have I booked in? So I have a lot of appointments I've booked in with myself, whether it, you know, for example, this interview I've booked in today, I booked in my personal training session, I've booked in, you know, I'm doing some work this afternoon in preparation for the event that I'm hosting next week. So, you know, I've booked in time, so I know that's what I need to do, versus looking at an empty calendar in a full inbox going, oh, well, I'll just do this. And then I'll get to Friday going, oh, crap, I haven't done any preparation. And, you know, I've got to think up funny jokes or whatever I've got to do. Mm. So I let the diary run the day. So when I, you know, my question is what's next, I'll go to the diary and look at there versus, oh, someone sent me an email. Because there's something about email that also it triggers our, someone loves me, they've sent me an email. And so we're constantly looking at it and going, yay, I love me. You know, so it's, you know, it used to be that way with letters, but now the only letters that rock up are bills. Yeah. And so, you know, it's a form of love. We love your money. So it's, yeah, I let the diary run the day.
Do you schedule time in your diary for social media?
No, I don't. I probably could. I did for a while, particularly LinkedIn and working with the groups and stuff. Mm. And I've heard a lot of people who I've got to be honest, I'm not that good at social media. I mean, I dabble in it and I do different stuff. I'm more likely to use social media when I'm at an event or at something.
Okay. So it's not that big distractor for you that it is for lots of people?
No, not really. Facebook can be because, you know, again, that triggers, oh, someone loves me, it's good, you know, but I'm getting a lot better at just turning it off. Like I'll check it, you know, when I'm, you know, as I said before, wake up, roll over, grab the phone, and I'll check it, you know, at night when I'm sitting down on the couch. Maybe sometimes during the day, you know, I've just launched a couple of things, so I've put them on buffer to get them out there in the different social media feeds, so I'll check how they're going. But I try not to because it's a bottomless pit.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm becoming more and more disenchanted with Facebook. So therefore, you know, I let the diary run the day. And so therefore it's important, you know, one of my goals is to have an empty inbox. And if it's not empty, then it's within one page of scrolling. And it's just I use the 5 Ds to make sure I manage all the stuff.
Mm. Do you want to just share what they are?
Why not? Who would have thought you were going to ask that question?
I know.
So the 5 Ds are really quite simple. And the first one is do it. Because a lot of people will have a look at an email and go, oh, yeah, look at that. It won't take long. I'll just do that later. Versus if I just do it now, I can delete it, you know, and it's done. So do it is the first one. The second one is diarize it. You know, turn your email that's come in into an actual task or actual, you know, entry in your calendar. So it gets out of your inbox and in your calendar. The third one is dump it. You know, you just some stuff is just rubbish. You don't need to do it, so don't just delete it. Get rid of it. Dump it.
All those spammy emails.
Sorry.
All those spammy emails.
Oh man, I don't know, but I'm just getting more and more and more spam. It's just annoying. But there's also there's a lot of emails that come out. It used to be, you know, you'd sign up to every single newsletter you could because how fabulous is this. And nowadays, you're just getting off so many. There's a tool, I think it's unroll.me or something like that, that is really good of getting you off different email lists.
That doesn't work on Mac, though, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a few things that sort of, you've got to hook it up with Google Mail or Gmail or something. I don't know. But it was good for me to get rid of a few things. Mm. Delegation is the fourth D, so delegate stuff. I've got an executive assistant who does a lot of stuff for me, and I'm not very good at delegating, and I'm learning more and more. And I've got to tell you, it's brilliant because I can just flick it to her and it gets done versus me thinking about it. So if you're in a team scenario, delegation's great. And sometimes it's, even when you're not in a team, there's someone else who's part of the project that you need to delegate stuff to, not because you want to get it off your plate, but because they are the better person for the job.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's delegation, not abdication. The Australian management approach is typically abdication, which is you flick it to them and go, here you go, can you do this? Versus a delegation of like, I'd love you to do this. Here's what I need you to do. Here's the structure of it. Here's the specifications. Give me a checkpoint where things are at. If you need anything from me, let me know and then check in along the way.
Yeah.
That's delegation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the final one is deposit it. Which is a D word for file it. Some stuff is just, you just file it, you know, because you want it because it's an archive and you file it. My filing system is the same everywhere. So it's the same in my mailboxes, the same on my hard drive, the same in my physical filing system. So it just means it's all replicated.
Mm, clever, clever. I want to talk about the workshop that you run that's called Your Next 100 Days, which is about getting more results from increasing your focus and energy.
Yep.
Can you give us a few tips on how we can get the most out of our next 100 days? Or if not the next 100, given that it's coming into the silly season when we're talking, maybe the first 100 days of 2016.
Right. And let's break it down into 3 months, 12 weeks. I mean, because really if your focus is a 90-day or 12-week focus, you'll achieve so much more than you do if you're focused 12 months because there's so much changes. And step number one really is to look at what is it you're trying to achieve and really have an understanding of what it is, but most importantly, why. Because your why is going to be your driver. You know, your why is going to get you out of bed every day. Your why is going to refocus you. You know that feeling after you go away on holidays and you come back and you're like, oh, I'm struggling to get back into work. You know, that's going to happen around that mid-January kind of time frame because, you know, we'll have Christmas and celebrate whatever. And you know, the Americans are having their Thanksgiving now and already they're sort of slowing down, getting ready for it. And it becomes a bit of a lull. So it can be hard to get back into things again. So, but having a really strong why will keep you focused, right? So you need to know what it is that you're trying to do and why you're doing it. So if you ever have a roadblock, you just come back to what's my why again? Oh, that's right. And then if you're looking at the 90 days, you know, break it down into the 330 days and then break it down into the weeks within and then look at what are the little things I've got to do. And focus on what you've got left to do, not what you have done. There was some new research that's come out, and I'm sorry, but I don't know who did it, but I was in a presentation, the guy was talking about it. You'll achieve more if you're focusing on what you need to achieve rather than what you have achieved. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of celebrating success, and not just at the end of something, but all along the way. Mm-hmm. My belief is that if you make celebrating success a habit, you'll make success a habit. So it's really important that you do that. Now, some days it's just, I've turned up to work. Hooray! You know, and other days it's like, oh, wow, I've reached a significant milestone or I've just been able to publish this new thing or I've got a new branding done. Yay, I need to celebrate it.
So how do you celebrate?
Really good question. I create what's called a celebration shopping list. Oh, so I go through and I look at what's all the stuff that I really want. And I've actually got a link for that. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great. I love that.
So, I'll flick that to you. So it's just a really basic thing because some stuff will cost money, other stuff don't. Like for parents, sometimes a real celebration is just to have time off from the kids. Mm. So whether that's, you know, locking yourself in the bathroom and locking the door, putting on music and having a bath, you know, that could be a really cool thing. It's just doing stuff you like to do but usually wouldn't do. So for example, I reached the global designation of certified speaking professional last year. And I'm the 69th person in Australia to do it. So
congratulations.
Thank you very much. You know, it's something significant. I've been working on it for years. It's not an easy thing to get.
And just for listeners, that is a really big deal as a professional speaker.
Yeah.
So it is massive. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's really cool and it's a global certification. So I went to the global conference and I'm hoping next year to go to the global CSP conference. So to celebrate that, I bought myself something that I wanted but didn't really need, but it had to be sort of significant because it was a significant thing. So I got the Bose noise-canceling headphones because I fly a lot with what I do for work. And so every time I use them, I'm like, this is because I'm a CSP. And yeah. It's a really good motivator, reminder, because, you know, as you know, I saw a graph on social media recently about the daily journey of an entrepreneur's, and you go from I'm a legend to oh my god, what am I doing this for? I'm a failure, you know. And it's no matter how good you are, I suspect everyone goes through that cycle. And I know I do, in all honesty, I know I do. Sometimes I'm like, oh, should I just give this up and get a job? But I don't think anyone would ever employ me, so it is really important to celebrate success because it acknowledges. And no one will know what you've done to achieve what you've done except for you.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
They just won't.
And success is often so subjective as well. Oh. Like what I deem to be successful is often not what other people would consider to be successful, particularly because what I deem to be successful doesn't often have a dollar value to it.
Correct.
And so it's, you know, it's little things. It's, you know, yeah. I'm a big believer in celebrating success.
A lot of the work
that
I'm doing now is around success. And the very first step is to look at, well, what is success for you?
Yeah.
You know, and for some people, it is money. You know, it is, I want to earn bazillions of dollars. And I remember when I left university, I wanted to be the CEO. And now I'm just like, not a chance. It's like, I don't want, you know, those guys get paid well, but they're working their bums off and they're responsible for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we've all got these, you know, voices about what we think politicians should do, but who'd want to be a politician?
Oh, I know.
You know.
I remember when I was younger and when I was starting my career, my definition of success was similar to yours. I was so career focused. I wanted to have, you know, the big job with the big income and the big responsibility. And now my definition of success is, can I have 12 weeks of annual leave a year? And how do I do that? How do I make that work while still running my business?
Oh, for sure.
And
that's, you know, and that's, again, that's one of my focuses. You know, I want 12 weeks annual leave guilt-free.
Exactly.
Now, the guilt-free stuff, you know, I'm doing the 12 weeks, but the guilt-free I struggle with, I've got to tell you. And part of that is because, you know, December, January is pretty dead in my business. And so therefore I'm like, well, I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so to do it and I do, you know, because it is rest and, you know, rest and recreation is rest and recreation. So I might do a bit of strategic work at that time, but I'm not doing full-on work. But my idea of success also is I want assets enough to do the work for me. You know, my vision is I want $5 million worth of assets that are earning me a 5% return. That's 250 grand a year. I reckon my wife and I could live pretty comfortably on 250 grand a year.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're working towards. And that's why we do what we do is to build that. And we're, you know, we're on track and we've, you know, for anyone who follows me on social media, you'll see that, you know, we've just recently bought some property that we're foofing around on and, you know, using as a weekender. So, you know, it's we're doing some really cool things. And I'm not waiting until I'm 65 to retire and enjoy life. We're doing it now. And so, you know, we're very fortunate. You know, my wife has 2 or 3 days off in the middle of the week. I'll have 2 or 3 days off and we'll hang out together.
Yeah.
Yes, I've got my phone. Anything urgent comes up, I'll deal with it or I'll flick it to my executive assistant. And then on the weekend, I'll work because, you know, I had a couple of days off in the middle. So your success can be so flexible, you know.
And that's the joy of working for yourself as well.
Oh, like
that's one of the reasons I started was because I wanted that flexibility. I wanted to know that if I, you know, if I wanted to work on a weekend, I could, but then I could have a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Monday off if I had other things that were more important to me on those days that didn't involve work.
Yeah, and but if you you know if you're a full-time employee, there are plenty of places.
Can't do that.
Well, you can't for a lot, but some you can if you, you know, are clear in your communication and let them know what you want and let them know why you want it and prove to them, look, here's the value I'll return. Mm. There's a lot of old school of like, I want to see you in the office between 8 and 5, you know. But if you're like, you know, this is what I want to do, and you can set it up and fight for it. You know, too many people hear the first no and go, oh well, you know, I can't do it. Someone will fight for it. If you really want it, justify it. Make it so that all they have to do, you know, present so much evidence to them that it's not a decision, it's just a ratification.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you believe enough, there's, you know, it's quite flexible in ways that you can do that.
I started consulting because I wanted to work part-time and do a job share, and my boss refused to approve the request. And so I just resigned because I thought, I know I can do it on my own. And he was a bit of a buffer, but I didn't need it. And I just thought, how many other people are in that situation who would quite like to be an employee and who have loads of great skills but aren't given the opportunity to get a job that fits in with what their other requirements in life are?
Yeah. Or you get a boss saying, no, you can't do that. And so you're like, well, I'll show you. I'll just turn up to work as you want me to, but I'm not doing anything.
Exactly. Now,
there's a lot of people who have retired. They just haven't told the boss yet.
Exactly. And that's, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
As people in their 50s and 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah, mate. Yeah. I deal with 60-year-olds who are still trying to work out what they want to be when they grow up.
I know. I think I'll be one of those.
Which is great. You know, there's no one ultimate solution. But you just got to try different things. Like if you're in the one job for your entire – like if you're in a job that you hate, get out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, find something else and do something else because, you know, the hatred is just going to eat away at you.
I have no time for people who whinge to me repeatedly about how much they hate certain aspects of their life, whether it's their job, whether it's their partner, whether it's, you know, something that they've committed to. It's like, well, work out a way of getting out of it. Change it for the better or move on.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, you can either do something about it and, you know, bitch about it but take action, or if you're not doing anything about it, well, you don't get to bitch about it.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you
are going to bitch about it, don't expect me to listen because I'm not interested after the first bitch.
And that's, you know, and that's part of, you know, what we do as entrepreneurs and as business owners is like you want to surround yourself with people who are – helping support you both physically and emotionally as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you're just rocking up with people who continue to drag you down, you've got to question why you're doing it.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I just want to change the subject slightly because I really, really want to know, how on earth did you get to be a backing singer for Josh Groban? Because I love him. That's all
I have to say. That was so cool. Now, listeners, when she says backing singer for Josh Groban, you need to understand it was about a minute on stage. So what happened is I sing in a choir. At that stage, I was singing for a fantastic choir in Melbourne called Melbourne Singers of Gospel. There's about 100 people in the choir. I left that choir because it was too big and I didn't get to show off enough. So I now sing in a choir. There's only about 15 to 18 of us called Mood Swing. And you can check us out, moodswingchoir.com. Now, he was touring, and you know that song he does, You Raise Me Up?
Oh, there's a bit
about half the way through that is that, you know, there's a choir in the background, you know. Ah! So what they wanted to do, and it was his encore number, and so they needed 16 people, four from each part. For those who don't know that you have different parts, you know, bass, tenor, alto, soprano. And sometimes tenors and basses are hard to get. And so someone who was doing it out of Melbourne Singers of Gospel contacted me and I said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So for all of his Melbourne concerts, we would come in, sit in the green room where you couldn't hear or see any of the concert.
Oh, no. They didn't have it piped in.
Wave to the Wings, where we'd sit. Oh, they had a crusty old speaker that would just, you couldn't really hear. Wave to the Wings where we'd stand. The girl would go out with her violin and play the intro. He'd start a song at a certain bit. We'd sneak out up on stage into what's called the risers, where all the choir stands.
Yeah.
And then at the right spot, the spotlights would come on and we'd be going, you know, You Raise Me Up. And we sang there and had our 30 seconds to a minute of fame. And then he'd turn and go, thank the choir. And we'd walk off.
Aww.
So, but it was cool. Like, it's a really cool thing, you know. And this is, I suppose, you know, just being willing to try different stuff and give things a crack.
Yeah.
Just got me singing backup vocals for Josh Groban.
So you might not know this, but I did a Master of Public Health that I finished last year, and my final research project was on the benefit of singing in a choir to people's health.
Right.
How have you, what benefits have you found to your life in general from being in a choir?
It is the coolest thing. One, you create this amazing sound. Like as a group, like we recorded a CD, which is available from the website, and it's a really great sound. We do some good stuff. We actually just sang on Sunday at the Surry Hills Music Festival. We had our own concert a couple of weeks ago, and it's just a whole lot of fun. I've got to be honest, some of our songs aren't quite musically perfect, but the sound is great. Now, as an individual, it's, you know, there's a lot of talking about mindfulness at the moment. This forces you to be mindful. You have to be present. The rest of the world does not exist because you've got to remember, what's the word? What's the note? What are the others singing? What time am I coming in with? How is this all going to happen? So you have to be present. There is a collegiality, like in our choir and in all the choirs I've sung with, it's a real cross-section of the community. So there's people there that you usually wouldn't have anything to do with. And, you know, some of them are a little bit quirky, but we, with all the one focus on the one goal, you have this sort of bonding. You almost all breathe together. It helps with your breathing. You can feel the vibrations of the music in your body. So for me, it is such an important part of my life. Yep. Like if I get a gig on a Wednesday night, they have to pay, because that's my rehearsal night, they have to pay me a lot of money because this is too important to me. It really gives me energy for the week ahead. And you know, school holidays are a killer for me because there's no choir.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and my wife's just like, oh, when are you going back to choir? You know, you need to go off and – because, again, because I work, you know, I work from home and I work – you know, my business is myself and my EA who's in her place. And so it's a good people connection thing as well, and it's a very good social network. So – and I know there has been a whole lot of research about how truly good it is for mental health and physical health as well.
Yeah, that's what just struck me the most. And just being a part of this group for this research project, I had to go along and sing in the rehearsals and then sing in the performance. And it had been a really long time since I'd been in a choir and I'd completely forgotten how amazing it was.
And it's like when you nail a song, like when it sounds really good, it's such a fantastic – well, we were singing –
it's such a buzz.
Ave Verum, which is a Latin number that was written in the 17-something-something.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because remembering Latin is a challenge and it's a very complex musically. And we nailed it for the concert and everyone was just saying how good it was. And it was such a really cool feeling and a sense of achievement. And look, and to be quite honest, if anyone's thinking, oh, maybe I should join a choir just for a bit of fun, but I'm not a good enough singer, you don't have to be a good singer.
That's the beauty of a choir. You're just one voice in many.
A lot of the choirs will support you, and if you're not quite on the money, it doesn't matter, and they'll help, you know, they'll help you lift your game. And the more you sing, the better you are at it. I've got a muso friend who believes that everyone can sing, even those who get told they're tone deaf and can't sing. They actually can, because you know you're surrounded by noise every day, so you know when something sounds good and doesn't sound good, so you can self-regulate.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend it.
I'll take that on notice. Thank you very much. Did being in a choir help you when you wrote your book get more inspiration?
Yes and no, because you'll find in the book I've referred to it a couple of times. But Get More Inspiration was just it's a whole collection. I wanted to create a resource that was for people who didn't have the time to read a book. So this book has been specifically designed not to read.
Okay.
Which is a bit weird because, you know, it's a book. Because a lot of the senior managers I'm dealing with, you know, if you say, oh, here's a great book, they go, yeah, I just don't have time, you know, and give me the five-word summary. So what this is over 200 different little vignettes which have a little call to action and action box at the bottom. So it's not just, oh, that's a nice little story and you put it back on the shelf. It's like, here's some points. What are you going to do about it?
So
for those times when you're working away and then you get a bit of a block and you need inspiration, you grab the book, you flick to it and just randomly select a page and then have a look at it and you'll either go, oh, wow, that's really cool and here's what I'm going to do, or you go, this is rubbish, I don't know what this is, and you flick and go to another page. So it's the kind of book that you can, and a lot of people have read it from front to back, but it is more of a flicker, so to speak.
So when are you turning it into an app?
Oh, good question. I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, that's my free bit
something
of advice
else
for the
that
day.
Goes ding on your phone. Look, I reckon there's a lot to be said for going old school. Like, yeah, I probably could turn it into an app, but look, at the moment, you know, I've recently done a deal, so it's going to be in bookstores shortly.
Oh,
it's on Amazon. I've had, you know, it's a really good credibility piece for me as a speaker. And I've got to tell you, I love it. It's a really good book. I'm really proud of it. You know when you make some product and you think, wow, that's actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be?
Yeah.
And this is – I'm very, very proud of this book, and it is just such a valuable piece. I get so much great feedback from the people who have bought it, and I've recently had to do another reprint. So, you know, it's a really cool thing.
That's excellent. That is excellent. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time, and how are you going to get there?
No, I don't. I don't look at 5 years'
time.
Like,
5 years? What about 1 year? Like, where will you be in 1 year?
One
Any
year's
big
time?
Goals?
Look, for me, I love what I do. I really do. The thing I enjoy the most is probably the MC work that I do. I just have a whole lot of fun. I've done a lot of improvisation training of late to really help me be present and make stuff up on the spot. And a lot of my audience love it because it's about them. Mm. It's not about me. Here's the joke I prepared earlier. It's like, let's have jokes with what's going on. One of the things a lot of my audience really love is the slam poetry, which I do, which is I give them to give me, you know, day two of a conference, you know, what's some of the learnings you've had, some reinforcing the learning. And then I turn whatever they've made into a poem, and I usually add a name, and typically it's the CEO, and typically it's having a crack at the CEO. And you know, it's because I've practiced doing it now, I'm better at it. And look, sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the times it does. And people love that. So it's a really cool thing, and it gives me a great burst. So I'm happy to keep doing what I'm doing. I'd love to I really want to see the book in airports. That's what I really want to do. I want to be flying somewhere and go to the airport and go, there's my book, yay! That would be a cool thing, purely for ego purposes. That's all, and I own that. I've got a very healthy ego.
I go to airports not as often as you do, but I've been in a few recently, and I have to say I was in Brisbane Airport a few weeks ago, and I scour the bookshelves to see who of my friends' books are there.
Yep.
And I was so disappointed the last time because I did not see a single book by a single friend, whereas 3 months ago, three of my dear friends had books on the bestseller list.
Like,
where are they all now? They can't have gone from bestseller to nothing in 3 months. They should be somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And look, you know, that happens, and that's just all part of the joy. Look, and so other things for us, my focus this year, I have a revenue target that I'm focusing on. And again, as part of my celebrating success, if I hit the target, I love Aston Martin cars, you know, James Bond, Debbie 9, fantastic. I don't love the price tag because they're about 600 grand or something.
Yeah.
But what I've done is I've set myself a sales target, a pretty healthy one, and if I reach it, I'm going to rent one for the day. And they're about $1,500, and I reckon if I hit my target, I'll have that, you know, money and more to spare. So it's a really cool thing to do, so I can pretend to be James Bond for a day. My poker skills aren't that flash. So, you know, that's sort of what I'm doing. But ultimately, again, it gets back to that, you know, the idea of success. You know, my wife and I are working on the, if we can build our asset base to generate that kind of money, then, you know, what I do is not work. What I do is brings joy to my life. And so I will always keep doing it, but maybe less of it, or maybe do it in different locations. I've got a couple of colleagues who are doing a lot on cruise ships. Now, I probably won't do cruise ships because my wife hates boats, but I will do other exotic locations. And, you know, as I said, we bought the farm and we're just going to fart around up there a little bit. So we're just building that sort of there. And contribute to the community. We have a really healthy sense of contribution, and so we'll just keep doing that. So, you know, we live a fantastic life as it is. We are so grateful for we are blessed by some of the choices that we make. And look, a lot of people say, "Oh, you're so lucky, you get to travel." It's like, it's not luck.
That annoys
me. It takes two things. Planning and cash. And if you've got enough planning, the cash looks after itself.
And also taking advantage of opportunities when they come, and not squandering opportunities that present themselves.
Oh, look, one of our cousins just recently got married in the Dominican Republic, and I'd heard about the Dominican Republic, but I did have to go to Google Maps to find out where it was. And we're like, it's going to cost us a fair chunk of cash, but it's not often you get invited to the Dominican Republic, so we went. And I've got to tell you, it was a 44-hour trip to get there. It was the most horrible trip I've ever had. But it was a really cool thing to be there. And we're like, well, here we are in the Dominican Republic. And, you know, it's a fun experience. So it is, you know, doing some of these things that you would instinctively sort of go, oh, no, I'd like to, but oh, no. It's that moving beyond the comfort zone. Because, you know, all the awesomeness is just out of the comfort zone. And so you just one step at a time stretch it is my thought.
And you know that cousin would have been so grateful that you'd made the effort to go as well.
She was thrilled. Yeah. Thrilled. And then she's like, oh, it's coming for the wedding. Can you emcee it? Yes, I So, you know, so we had, you know, there was a Sri Lankan bride and a Jamaican groom. And so, nearly everyone in the room was, you know, tanned of some description.
And
so I start off by saying, oh, well, what better person to have host a wedding between a Sri Lankan and a Jamaican than the white guy, you know, and everyone burst out laughing. So that was great.
So my final question for you is, what is your top tip to get stuff done?
Start. You know, it's that don't think about it and start. You know, it really, because what happens is we get into that analysis paralysis really, really quickly.
Yeah.
So break it down into that bite-sized chunk and start. I love what Kerry Packer said. You know, he just said, take a massive bite and chew like buggery. And sometimes you've got to do that. You know, you can't, you know, people go, don't bite off more than you can chew. It's like someone, just chew, just keep chewing. And so it is that, you know, just slowly but surely one foot in front of the other. You know, and so just start, you know, and look, to expand on that, it may well be, you know, get the support and resources and whatever you might need, but just start, because at the end of the day, if you really want it to happen, it's completely up to you.
Yeah. Fantastic advice. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Warwick Murray, for your time today. Before we go, where can our listeners find you, and where is the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, look, if you head to warwickmurray.com, that is the best place to find me. I have, a weekly newsletter called The Get More Goer, so you can check that out. We're kicking off next year. If you really want to achieve some awesome stuff, there's three of us. We're creating success for 2016 mindfully and with presence, doing a workshop here at Phillip Island. It's a retreat, so a residential program, and you can check that out at warwickmurray.com/2016-kick-off.
I've never been to Phillip Island. This could be a good excuse.
It's good. It's good. And I'd even pick you up from the airport. That's the kind of guy I am. It's going to be so much fun.
In an Aston Martin, you better hit your target before you pick me up so I can go for a spin in the Aston.
Yeah, I think there'll be a list of people who want to
have it. I'm sure there will be.
And look, I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn a little bit more so on sort of Facebook maybe. But, you know, jump on the newsletter is the best way to keep in touch. And that's every Monday, except when I forget, then it goes on a Tuesday.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much.
Absolute pleasure to be here, Mel. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes, together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod or tweet us at theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode, where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.